You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 483.
Oh yeah.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin.
It's episode 483. This is our 10-part series of 80s episodes. On and on it goes. And this week, because it's 483, we are looking at the year 1983. Are you all excited about 1983?
More than I've ever been, Kevin.
Not since 1983 itself.
Have I been this excited about 1983?
Yeah, you know, you and me both. We're going to get to that kind of stuff in just a second, but let's start first. Cornflake, what's going on for National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Did you catch me at the beginning of the show practicing my, oh yes.
I did notice a touch of Kool-Aid Man in the opening of the show. Yes, what's going on?
Well, August 13th, Kevin, is National Kool-Aid Day.
All right, I was correct then. You were doing a little Kool-Aid Man.
Doing my best impression.
Yes.
Yeah, what you can't see, since we're in separate studios right now, is me crashing through the wall every time I say that.
When was the last time you had Kool-Aid?
Not recently enough, and I kind of miss it. I think the last time I had Kool-Aid was...
What are you going through your journal now? What kind of
journal.
thorough Kool-Aid records have you been keeping over? That's very impressive.
It might not have been since the 90s. And Kool-Aid had two purposes back in the 90s. I would drink it, and I'd also dye my hair with it.
Oh.
As all the 90s kids were doing.
I don't think I've had Kool-Aid since probably the mid-80s, I'll say. Maybe even longer. And I do not miss it. I'm in no hurry to ever touch that stuff again. But it was certainly around back in the day. There was Kool-Aid, and then there was the competitor to Kool-Aid was Funny Face.
Oh.
Which each flavor had its own little mascot, and many of them were racially insensitive.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they had quite a scene going over at Funny Face. But Kool-Aid, you've just got your Kool-Aid Man, of course. And I did enjoy the Kool-Aid Man. Classic commercials, the, you know, giant pitcher smashing through the wall. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that never gets old. I mean, watching that Kool-Aid Man smash through the wall is way better than actually drinking Kool-Aid.
And now, is the face part of the pitcher, or is it part of the Kool-Aid itself inside the pitcher? What's going on? Walk me through the anatomy of the Kool-Aid Man.
I feel a little uncomfortable discussing that. Yeah. I don't know if that's appropriate for our Flopcast audience.
If you can keep it PG-13, what's going on?
Oh, I assure you I can't, Kevin.
Deep inside the Kool-Aid Man that we don't want to know about.
That's a swim you don't want to take, Kevin.
There's an Alan Moore story from many years ago. Comic book legend Alan Moore wrote this crazy short story. It's illustrated by Peter Bagg, who did Hate. And it's like this bizarre, tragic life story of the Kool-Aid Man. They didn't call him the Kool-Aid Man, you know.
Right, copyright.
Yeah, that would have been a problem. But it's this crazy story from Alan Moore about Kool-Aid Man, and it's called The Hasty Smear of My Smile. I haven't read it in a long time, but as I recall, it was very weird. I really liked it. Well, happy Kool-Aid Day to us all. Kool-Aid certainly was around in 1983.
True that.
Well, let's get off the Kool-Aid and into the year 1983, and we're just going to go through a bunch of 1983 junk.
Let's do that.
I have no wacky gimmick. There's no concept. I've just got a bunch of 1983 stuff to run through.
Take us back, Kevin.
Well, one thing we're not going to talk about is TV, just because the last couple of Flopcasts were so television heavy, you know, with the backs of life and whatnot, that
yeah.
I think we're going to let's skip TV and we'll just cover whatever else. So I've got a bunch of notes about 1983. So here's some interesting things from that year. Here's something I did not know, Cornflake. The 3D printer is invented in 1983.
I had no idea.
Yeah, nobody saw it back then. I certainly didn't. That's how it usually goes with inventions. You know, they're always way older than you think. Like, you hear about television. It's like, oh, when did they start television? You're like, I don't know, like the 1940s or whatever. And then it's like, no, Magellan had one. While they were sailing around the world, they were watching Gilligan's Island reruns. Let's not do the math on that. But that's the kind of thing, you know, everything's always several decades older than you think. So there you go.
That's astonishing.
The 3D printer, 1983. I certainly was not 3D printing anything. Well, I'm still not 3D printing anything, but many people are.
Yeah, we have friends that are like way into the 3D printing.
You know what gets me about the 3D printer?
What?
The name. It's kind of silly. Shouldn't we start calling it something else?
What do you want to call it instead?
Well, I don't know, but it's like we were still calling cars the horseless carriage. You know?
Okay, so what to call it? You have to give it some personality. So maybe give it a name. Maybe call it Thaddeus Thing Printer.
Yes, that's a much better, more logical, non-ridiculous name. Let's roll that out first thing tomorrow. From the world of video games... arcade video games. In 83, the big video game that came out in the arcades was Dragon's Lair, which was a terrible game. Don Bluth, the animator, he made it. It was beautiful because it wasn't really a video game. You're watching a cartoon. It was awful. You're just hitting the joystick to move your guy, but he doesn't really do what you want because it's a cartoon.
Oh.
They just had laser discs inside the machine running cartoons. It was dreadful, but it was a big hit. Dragon's Lair. Let's see. 1983, Vanessa Williams won the Miss America competition. And that was a big story because she was the first, you know, black woman to become Miss America, which was cool. But then remember Vanessa Williams?
Yeah.
It turned out there were naughty photos of Vanessa Williams, and so she had to surrender her crown.
We used to be such prudes.
It was ridiculous. But then Vanessa had the last laugh because she came bouncing back as a pop star, you know, had a bunch of massive hit songs a few years later.
I still love Saved the Best for Last.
Yeah, she did some good stuff. And I just like that, though, because most Miss Americas, you never hear from again, you know?
But Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, how many names do we know of former Miss Americas?
One.
I mean, I could name one or two more, I think. Lee Merriweather, you know, who was Catwoman.
Good point.
But that's it. That's about it. But anyway, this was Vanessa's year. This was the year that Kiss took the makeup off.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this on the show.
Yeah, that was a big thing. They went on MTV and revealed, here's our stupid faces. And then they blended in with every other hair metal band. Suddenly they look just like the guys in Dokken and everybody else.
I certainly couldn't keep them straight.
The other thing I have from the big news of 83, we're hitting the really big stories, you know?
Yeah.
Kiss, Dragon's Lair, Vanessa Williams, and perhaps most importantly, the first Hooters restaurant opened in 1983. Ever go to a Hooters?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Maybe twice. They're pretty ridiculous.
That is a true thing. Yeah, I was on a birthday party bus and Hooters was one of the stops.
Wow, look at you. Out on the town. Party bus to Hooters.
Party bus to Hooters.
You got a party with cornflake more often. Here's a shock, though. The first Hooters was in Florida.
Oh.
We never would have guessed. Nothing crazy ever comes out of Florida, but somehow.
Have you not read the Florida Man stories?
All right, now let's look at, I looked at people born in the year 1983. I've got a list of celebrities born in 83. Turns out a lot of people from superhero movies born in 83, a lot of them. So Kate Bosworth.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of stuff, actress, you know. But she was Lois Lane in the Superman Returns movie, which was from, 2006. And that was weird because she was very young. Obviously, right? She was born in 83, so she was like 23, I guess.
Right.
And they were trying to make it like a continuation of the first Christopher Reeve movie. So they were saying like, it's 5 years later, and now Superman's back. And I was like, well, how old is she? like is in the first, right. You know, the Chris Reeve era, when Margot Kidder was Lois, you know, she was like this experienced newspaper reporter.
Right.
Was she 14?
Yeah, that's weird.
And she's the star reporter for the Daily Planet. Yeah, the timeline didn't make sense because she was so young. That was the least of the problems I had with that movie, though. So let's move on. But there's Kate Bosworth. Oh, Diane Birch. born in 83.
Oh, we've talked a lot about Diane Birch on this show.
I love Diane Birch, singer-songwriter. She's super cool. One of the many people I was supposed to see in concert last year, and then, of course, that didn't happen. Then it got rescheduled 6 or 7 times until it was supposed to happen last month, and it finally was officially canceled. But everybody, yeah, check out Diane Birch. She is fantastic. Oh, Aziz Ansari, born in 83 from Parks and Recreation. Henry Cavill, speaking of Superman, the next time they made a Superman movie, post-Bosworth, Henry Cavill, he's the new Superman for that last handful of Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman and Justice League, that whole batch of movies. He was Superman. Not a good Superman.
But he was Superman.
He was, and I don't even know that I want to blame him. He might be fine. I don't know him from anything else. I hear he's very good in a lot of other stuff, but it might be a director choice kind of thing, but they just made him so cold and alien. I mean, he is an alien, you know.
Right.
He's from Krypton, you know, like I am.
Right.
But so technically an alien, but that's not my Superman.
Right. Your Superman has a heart.
Yeah, you know, they raised him right in Smallville. Still in the world of superheroes and many other things. Adrian Palicki, who I think you would know from The Orville.
Yes, I love her on The Orville. She plays Kelly.
She was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also for the Marvel people.
Oh, that's right.
I did not watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but she was on Smallville. She was sort of Supergirl.
Oh, I didn't know that about her.
Yeah, not for long. There was the real Supergirl came later, but I think Adrian was there first. And she did a bunch of interesting pilots. Because in 2003, there was a Lost in Space pilot, which didn't go to series, in which she was Judy Robinson. She was in the Marta Kristen part. Then in 2006, there was an Aquaman pilot, and she was in that. Not as Aquaman, I assume, but somebody else. And then what I know her from best, this might be the one Adrian Palicki thing I've actually seen, is the 2011, there was a Wonder Woman pilot, and she was Wonder Woman.
Oh, it's a shame that that didn't come to pass, because I think she would have done an amazing job.
It was not good. Again, probably not her fault,
right.
But it was not a good pilot. It's interesting to see, but there are issues. Michelle Branch. Remember Michelle Branch?
Just barely. Female singer.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Michelle Branch until I was going through this list. Yeah, she had a song called Everywhere.
Yeah, and that song was everywhere back when I was in college.
Yeah, and she did a thing with Santana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But she was part of, there was like a rash of like early 2000s young women in pop music.
Yeah.
And she was part of that whole crowd, Avril Lavigne and
Vanessa Carlton.
Vanessa Carlton, yes, all of them. She kind of got lost in that shuffle, in my mind, at least back then. Michelle Branch. I like those songs. Those are fun little songs.
Good energy, yes.
Back in the world of superhero movies, though, Cornflake, Chris Hemsworth. This is a big one. That's Thor from all your Marvel movies. You know that guy.
I get my Chris's mixed up, I have to admit.
Yeah, there are several of them. There's Chris Pratt, there's Chris Evans.
Is there a Chris Pine?
There's Chris Pine, and there's Chris Hemsworth. Right. And they're all in those same movies together. So it gets very complicated. This is Thor. This is the mighty Thor. And all your Avengers movies and Thor movies and whatnot. And funny guy, too. He's done a bunch of comedy stuff as well.
I was trying to think, wasn't he in the latest Jay and Silent Bob movie?
Yes, he was in Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
There was a hologram of him.
Yes, and that's his thing. He does reboots of comedies because he was literally Jay and Silent Bob Reboot he was in. But he was also in the reboot of Ghostbusters, the one with Kristen Wiig and that whole crowd. And he was in the reboot of Vacation, the Ed Helms version of Vacation.
Oh, wow. Not a bad market, not a bad niche.
He does Thor, and he does comedy reboots. That's his thing. Here's a lady that we discussed very recently on the Flopcast, Cornflake, Mila Kunis.
That's right. 2 different colored eyeballs.
She's got those eyeballs like you do. Mila. Another superhero, Cornflake, Andrew Garfield. He was Spider-Man. In between the Tobey Maguire movies and the current, Tom Holland movies, they did a couple of Spider-Man movies where Andrew Garfield was Spider-Man.
I've not seen those.
They're pretty good.
I was such a Tobey Maguire girl. I gotta just get around to watching the Andrew Garfield ones.
They're all pretty good, sort of, I guess. But I preferred Garfield to Maguire, and I prefer Holland to Garfield.
Well, maybe I need to give those a fair shake, then. Spider-Man.
Yeah, our current Spider-Man, Tom Holland, is the best so far. And the new Spider-Man is part of the real, you know, Marvel universe.
So it's an upgrade.
We keep upgrading our Spider-Men, yes. Maggie Grace was born in 83. She was on Lost, and these days she's on The Walking Dead, or one of the Walking Dead series. Donald Glover, who I knew first from Community, but also from Spider-Man. He was in one of those Spider-Man movies, and he was Lando Calrissian, the young Lando, when they did the Han Solo movie.
Oh, he was so good in that.
He's great. And he's a rap artist as well, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he is. Jesse Eisenberg, who was, you know, in The Social Network, that Facebook movie, but also from the superhero movies. He was Lex Luthor in Batman versus Superman.
Which I've not seen and probably will not see.
Please don't. Not a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I'm not about to yuck anyone's yum, Kevin. That just didn't sound like my thing.
No, it was pretty horrible. Adam Driver, also from the Star Wars movies. That's Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah.
That dude. Jonah Hill is on this list. You know, he's from, you know, Superbad and Knocked Up and all that Judd Apatow stuff.
Yes.
He's great. He's great.
Funny.
Yes. And last guy on the list is Steven Yeun, who we first knew from Walking Dead. And I saw him just this year in Invincible, which is another superhero thing. That's a cartoon series on Netflix or Amazon or one of those things based on a comic book. But he is Invincible. He's the voice of the title character in that. Very good series. Not for you, though. I would say don't watch it. It's super violent.
Okay.
And gory, and yeah, not a cornflake cartoon, but he's very good on it. So there's a big pile of people who all must be about 38 years old.
Approximately, yes.
That's the age of everybody making superhero movies these days, I guess. Next on my list of 1983 stuff, I looked at comic books. Strangely, I was not reading a lot of comic books in 1983. I kind of got out of comics for just a couple of years.
Too busy playing video games?
Yeah, I shifted from comics into the arcades, and I was just stuffing all my quarters into video games for a couple of years there. And I think it was in 84 that I got back into comics. So I had to catch up on everything I missed from 83, which included, here's some new stuff from DC Comics in 1983. That's when they started Batman and the Outsiders. That was Batman left the Justice League and started his own team. So that was the introduction of like characters like Geo-Force and Halo and Katana, those guys.
Wow, they sound like Mortal Kombat characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. There's Katana and there's Katana. One is in Batman and the Outsiders. One is in Mortal Kombat. I had to learn about that from Brittany. I didn't know about Katana until our friends over at But First Let's Talk Nerdy. They did a whole show about Katana, but the Mortal Kombat version. Jason Todd was introduced in 83. That was the kid that would become the new Robin after Dick Grayson retired from being Robin, and then Batman got a new Robin that was introduced this year. Also Killer Croc, who's like an alligator man, a Batman villain who became very popular, started this year. The Omega Men was like a science fiction sort of team out in outer space, which started this year. That was a cool series from DC, which included, there was an alien cat girl named Felicity.
Neat.
Who was introduced this year. And that's a name that we like around here, you know?
Yes, yes.
And also this year in that Omega Men series, they introduced Lobo, who became, several years later, a massively popular character for DC. He was just sort of this crazy, like, outer space biker gang kind of a dude, just a big, crazy, violent guy running around outer space. And in the early 90s, suddenly was the biggest thing happening at DC. We also met a whole bunch of the Infinity Incorporated characters in 83. This was sort of the second generation of the Golden Age Justice Society characters. I know I'm speaking like a different language to you, Cornflake, at this point, but this is just for my fellow deep comic book nerds out there. The Infinity Inc. characters like Jade and Obsidian and Fury and all of them, who kind of play a part these days in the new Stargirl series, I think. We're going to meet a lot of those characters, I think, I hope.
I think my 80s would have been a lot more fun had I been into, I think the only comic book I was into in the 80s was Archie.
Oh, yeah. Archie was chugging along right through the 80s, of course.
Archie and I think occasionally Tintin.
Yeah. And those are cool comics, too. If you look at those Archie's 80s comics and they're all hanging around at arcades and stuff, you know.
Yeah, having a good life.
They look very 80s, which is fun. Amethyst Princess of Gem World started this year as well, which was a very nice series from DC. It was like a girl, regular girl on Earth, and then she would like magically transform into a princess in another fantasy dimension. And The Protector started this year. This is a weird one, but the New Teen Titans were hugely popular at this point, and they did a couple of special issues of New Teen Titans about drug abuse. And they printed these comics and then distributed them to schools for school kids for free. And the issue they had was that Robin was a member of the New Teen Titans, but they weren't allowed to use Robin in these comics because it was sponsored by Keebler, I think, the cookie company, you know, with the elves. But meanwhile, the character of Robin had been licensed to like Nabisco or some other competing cookie company. So they couldn't use Robin. I think I have that straight, if I'm remembering correctly. So anyway, they created a whole new character called the Protector just to fill in for Robin just when they did these drug abuse comic books.
Robin stand-in. How much slower than I can get?
In the pantheon of superheroes. I'm the substitute Robin guy. I'm the Protector. They would laugh him out of any Teen Titans meetings. Yeah, really weird, obscure character anyway from this year, the Protector. Meanwhile, over at Marvel Comics, that was the year they introduced Alpha Flight, which was like a Canadian superhero team. That probably shouldn't even be legal, you know? That's just weird.
In Canada, the Kool-Aid man was Captain Kool-Aid.
Yes. He played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, he did.
Crash right onto the rink.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right, that's enough comics anyway. Let's go to movies. I have a very short list of movies here, Cornflake, and I think these are all movies that we've discussed before, but I have pared down a list of like a dozen or so. These are the most important movies of 1983.
As far as the Flopcast is concerned.
And possibly the most important movies in history. starting with BMX Bandits.
Okay.
And you know, we've talked some BMX Bandits on this show very recently.
That we have.
We did a bicycle-themed show a couple months back, I guess.
Yeah, I think it was a couple months ago.
Because we...
I had my USS Limoncello bike and you got your bike.
We've both been riding our bikes all year. I was out this morning.
Oh, it was a beautiful day for it.
It was great. I like to get out nice and early. I was out there at sunrise, you know.
Nice.
It was me and the rabbits. I saw a couple of rabbits this morning. Also out on their bikes. The three of us were just pedaling along.
And if I was biking at sunrise, I would be biking in my sleep.
My biking, though, cannot compare to Nicole Kidman's BMX biking, you know, in BMX Bandits.
Right. Well, whose can?
Classic Australian BMX movie starring a very young Nicole Kidman with her crazy curly 80s hair. That's a great movie. DC Cab was this year.
1983, right?
Come on. You know I love DC Cab.
You would make every Flopcast about DC Cab if you could.
Can we please talk about DC Cab a lot more on the Flopcast, Cornflick?
No. Even though it has Mr. T.
It's Mr. T. It's Irene Cara.
And Irene Cara. I'm going to have to decline that request. I'm sorry.
Eddie and the Cruisers was this year, you know, with the music of Rhode Island's own John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band. Flashdance was this year. Speaking of Irene Cara, she did the music for DC Cab. She did the music for Flashdance.
1983 was Irene Cara's year.
This was her year, of course. Krull was this year, classic, bizarre, science fiction, fantasy movie. The Outsiders.
Right.
Oh, I mean, I'm done. You know, you could stop right there, and it's the greatest year in the history of cinema. The Outsiders, you think of that movie, I keep running through the cast of that movie. That movie was insane.
Right.
The cast, you look at that, and how did they do that? That everybody's in that movie. It was total unknowns, for the most part. Like, Matt Dillon was sort of well-known.
Sort of.
But the rest of that cast, though, it's Matt Dillon, it's Ralph Macchio, Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise, Emilio Estevez. Leif Garrett was in there. He was already famous. Leif must have been the most famous guy in the movie.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Just ridiculous. I love that movie. Return of the Jedi was this year, of course. That means this is the year we met the Ewoks.
And I continued to watch them as cartoons for many years after that.
Yeah, we got an Ewok cartoon out of the whole thing. So that worked out. Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, which I defended last year in a classic sci-fi court, one of our quarantine panels. Molly Ringwald's in it. Super young Molly Ringwald.
Right.
This is Molly in between the facts of life and becoming a Brat Pack superstar. She went into outer space for Space Hunter. And let's see, a couple more. We have Superman 3. That's the Richard Pryor one. Evidently, that seemed like a good idea to somebody.
Yeah.
We're going to put Richard Pryor in a Superman movie.
Not sure about the logic.
I mean, I'm cool with it. I liked it. But I like ridiculous things. You know that.
Yes.
We have Trenchcoat. That was a Margot Kidder. Speaking of Superman, Margot Kidder did Trenchcoat also. It was like a espionage comedy.
I have no recollection of this.
I always think of it fondly, though, because the one time that I met Margot Kidder, Margot and I discussed Trenchcoat. And finally, because I've been working alphabetically this whole time, we have War Games.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about War Games last week.
Yes, we were.
Because Eddie Deason.
Right.
Super nerd Eddie Deason from last week's Facts of Life episode was in War Games. He had a very small but very memorable scene towards the beginning of War Games. And yikes, that's a great movie. I would watch War Games right now. I probably should. I'll be right back. Let's pause the podcast for like 2 hours. But there's your top movies of 1983.
It's a pretty good selection right there.
Nobody can debate that. That's objectively the best movies of the year.
With DC Cab right at the top of the list.
Yeah, DC Cab and BMX Bandits. Just kicking off the list. You know, I was going to go into my giant book of 80s music stuff and get into some music talk, but you know what? I'm feeling like let's keep it short. Let's forget music.
For 1983? Yeah, I'm good with that.
Let's skip the music. I will just say 83 was a great year for music, and this was the year that the 80s really started sounding like the 80s.
Right. This seems like the year that New Wave really took off.
Absolutely. It was sneaking in for a year or two prior.
Right, but 1983, it really hit its stride.
Yeah, the top 40 was drooling with New Wave songs in 1983.
But we could make a whole show about that.
This was The Safety Dance. This was Come On, Eileen. This was Electric Avenue. It's Men at Work. On it goes. We don't have time for that, Cornflake. Let's just say, yeah, we love the New Wave of 1983. But you all knew, everybody knows that already.
Right. Right. It wasn't exactly an underground thing. It was very mainstream. I loved it.
Yeah. Our secret's out. Guess what? Kevin and Cornflake enjoy 80s new wave music. Surprise. You know what? I think we can wrap this up right about now, Cornflake. Get us out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website, folks. Visit us online there and on Facebook.com/Flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @Flopcast. On Instagram, we are the_Flopcast. Over on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating or a review or both, if that's not asking too much. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
We didn't need the Sponge Awareness Foundation back in 1983 for goofy songs because we had Taco with Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah, we did.
Taco had you covered back then. Cornflake, thanks for hanging out tonight and talking 1983. And everybody, thanks for hanging out with us and flashing back to, what is it, 38 years ago at this point, I suppose. And we're going to keep the 80s talk going next week with some other special plans as well, I think. But meanwhile, you know, be safe, be kind, be goofy, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Hello there. I can see you have great taste in podcasts. Keep your discerning streak going with the Soul Forge podcast. No topic is off limits on the Soul Forge. We talk about life, toys, dating, geekiness, love, nerdiness, sex and dating, TV, movies, and just about anything you can think of. Check out the Soul Forge podcast, soulforgepodcast.com, and wherever you find your podcasts. We're everywhere.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Hello, Cornflake. Welcome to the secret after show.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Kevin, because you know what?
What's going on?
Not done talking about the Kool-Aid man.
Settle in, everybody. We've got easily another couple hours worth of Kool-Aid talk in us.
I'm also not done talking about 1983. But before I get into how Kool-Aid Man ties into 1983, I just want to say that the full name of Kool-Aid Man is Frankie de Kool-Aid.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
I saved the best for last. But what I wanted to mention was that the Kool-Aid Man was definitely looming large in the 80s. Did you know that back in 1983, the Kool-Aid Man had two video games?
I knew of at least one of them. I don't know that I knew about both of them.
Yeah, there was not one, but two Kool-Aid Man video games for the Atari 2600 and Intellivision. And we were also talking about comic books.
Yes.
From the early 80s. And The Adventures of Kool-Aid Man ran for three issues under Marvel Comics starting in 1983.
You know, I was aware of that and it completely slipped my mind. So good catch. I have at least one of these comics. I know I have a Kool-Aid Man comic book. I should have pulled that out of the long box so we could just analyze it. All right, new plan, Cornflake. I'm going to delete the entire show that we just recorded, and we're going to do a Kool-Aid Man comic book review instead.
I like the sound of that.
We're going to need a lot more coffee.
I'm going to crash through a lot more walls in that recording.
It's going to be a long night, and yeah, there will not be a wall standing by sunrise.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.